Blog Talk Radio.
Joining us here on Three Women, Three Ways, we're the radio show that looks at current events, things in the news, things that we should be thinking about, at least in our opinions, and all sorts of things that happen in our lives, and we look at it from our three different perspectives, and we are going to have a pretty special show today. I think we're going to be talking about Mother's Day. So why don't we get started by introducing ourselves? I am Heather Stark, and I am currently working on a dissertation for a PhD. I got interested in domestic violence issues about 15 years ago and have been doing whatever I can for those issues ever since, and have written a book called Why Doesn't She Just Leave, available on Amazon. And I am here with Connie Sue and with Deborah. Deborah, you want to introduce yourself?
I'd be thrilled to. My name is Deborah Adams. Excuse me. Good morning and happy Saturday. I am living in the Southwest Washington. I have a tagline, which is, I have lived it, I have studied it, and I have worked it. And that speaks directly to domestic violence, but also incorporates all forms of violence. And I would say that doing this radio show with my two sister divas has been a positive way that we can try to affect some change on our cultural and social norms, which is what I'm all about. So I'm going to ask Connie Sue to introduce herself.
Well, good morning, my other two lovely divas and our listeners this morning. This is Connie Sue, also known as the Pink Lady or Pinkly. I am a survivor of domestic violence and fled my home in 1997 with basically a paper sack and a dog. And in celebration of Mother's Day, that was my baby, even though it was not necessarily a child that I gave birth to. But I think of my little buddy often. I have been working in the anti-violence field ever since, became a volunteer, and went on a pathway of education and developed it in a local nonprofit domestic violence and sexual assault agency. I'm currently a program director running several programs supporting survivors of domestic violence. And I'm excited about our topic this morning, Mother's Day. I know personally I've struggled with this day for many, many years, just for the simple fact that I didn't have any children of my own. But I know that there's lots of moms out there that we just want to celebrate, and even though you may not be a mother, you, in celebration of the impact that you have on our children in this world. So, Deborah, you've got some interesting history about Mother's Day.
I enjoy history. That's actually one of the disciplines I studied when I returned to college in 1999. And there is quite a substantial amount of information about Mother's Day on the web. And I'm going to ask three questions. Do you think Mother's Day began in 1858 when Anna Jarvis, a young Appalachian homemaker, organized Mother's Day to improve the sanitation and avert deaths from disease-bearing insects? Or do you think it began in 1872 when a Boston poet, pacifist, and women's suffragist, Julia Ward Howe, established a special day for mothers and for peace after a very bloody Franco-Prussian War? Or do you think it was in 1905 after Anna Jarvis died and her daughter, also named Anna, decided to memorialize her mother's lifelong activism and began a campaign to pass a Mother's Day resolution? Which one of those do you think is correct?
Wow. You know, we should throw this open to our listeners. Okay, that if you, well, we're probably going to tell you this before you get a chance to call, but it's a good reminder anyway. We have a phone number you can call in, join us in this conversation, and that number is 1-646-378-0430, 646-378-0430, and gosh, I can't imagine which of those is the right answer. Connie Sue, do you have an idea?
Well, I didn't know that there were so many choices.
Yeah.
Steph, I give. Let's hear the answer.
Are you dying to know the answer?
I am.
Well, the truth of it is that all of the above are correct. All of these, each of these women and all of these events have contributed to our current celebration of Mother's Day. And it's my understanding that this is actually celebrated across, around the world. There's 46 countries that kind of mark the second day of Sunday, or second Sunday in May, as a celebration of mothers. But so I just thought that was really interesting. And actually, in the United States, it became institutionalized in 1914 when I think it was Roosevelt is the one who actually signed the Mother's Day resolution. But Connie Sue, didn't you discover some previous history as well?
Well, it's interesting. Yeah, let me pull it up here. We've got some people here that I'm chatting with. Let's see. Let me get back to that. It was actually, hang on, why don't you guys keep talking and I'll find it here.
Well, I did find a news article about there's a woman who celebrates her 78th Mother's Day. She's 109 years old this year. Is that not incredible? She was born
wow.
in 1904. Her grandfather was a slave, and she is living long enough to see her grandchildren's grandchildren. I think that's
wow.
an amazing story
that
to have
amazing.
That many Mother's Day. Quite an incredible life, wouldn't you think?
How many children did she have, does it say?
Let's see. She and her husband raised 5 kids of their own and 12 others after relatives died, 17 in all.
Oh. Wow.
Now that's mother.
That's a lot of diapers. That
and
is
a lot of diapers.
But
I think
bless her heart.
That's quite a story, isn't it?
Yeah, and yet you think she's 104 years old. She raised those kids before they had, you know, wash machines and dryers and,
Did you find your site, Connie, yet?
Well, yeah, it talks about the earliest history of Mother's Day actually dates back to the ancient annual spring festival of the Greeks dedicated to maternal goddesses. Ancient Romans, too, celebrated a spring festival called Hilaria, dedicated to Cybele, a mother goddess.
Nice.
Early Christians celebrated a Mother's Day of sorts during the festival of the fourth Sunday of Lent in honor of the Virgin Mary. So there's some really interesting history. And, of course, there's the proclamation by Julia Ward Howe. You've mentioned her a little bit, Deborah.
Right.
And Anna Jarvis. So it's interesting how it's evolved to where we are today, but there's some amazing history that dates back centuries in the celebration of mothers.
I actually found a tidbit that I thought was interesting in the United Kingdom. Their recent history of Mother's Day goes back to the 1600s. And it was called Mothering Sunday, too, and it was celebrated annually, like you said, Connie, so on the fourth Sunday of Lent, after a prayer service in church to honor the Virgin Mary, children brought gifts and flowers to pay tributes to their own mothers.
Yeah.
And if they didn't have a mother, they were encouraged to
find
to
one.
Yeah, adopt somebody.
Yeah.
So I think that's real. There's a lot of rich history here, and I always find that fascinating to actually go back, and maybe not everybody's as crazy about history as I am, but I think it's very interesting to go there. What do you think?
Well, it's interesting to see how these things evolve.
Yes.
You know, that I'm wondering, okay, so we all of these people through this 100 years or so, what are their different ideas of Mother's Day? I mean, because I think today a lot of people, it's just kind of like, oh, this is the day that you go take your mother out to dinner. Or this
right.
is the day you call the florist. But, you know, it sounds like throughout history there's been a lot more involvement or at least a lot more in-depth thinking about what this Mother's Day is and what it means.
Right. The first Anne Reeve Jarvis lived in West Virginia, and she started her Mother's Day work clubs in order to work on proper child care techniques and sanitation methods. And then in the years following the Civil War, these same clubs became a unifying force for a country ripped apart by the conflict. So that, I think, is very interesting, too. So it was a Mother's Day of work.
Yeah, let's all get together to honor Mother by giving her more work to do. Yeah, that's kind of interesting. I do appreciate the history of these things and what the thinking was when someone started it, because it's always someone who starts it, isn't it?
Yes. There's always one person who has an idea, and then it seems to grow from there. So after the first Anne Jarvis passed away, her daughter Anna became sort of disillusioned with the turn of Mother's Day because it became so materialized. It immediately became centered on the buying and giving of cards or flowers or candies or other gifts, and she was not pleased with that. So
I'm pleased with that. I'm good with it.
Yeah, she actually lost numerous lawsuits against groups using the name Mother's Day and eventually spent much of her inheritance on legal fees. So she was really committed to her belief, and she actually crashed some conventions in Philadelphia and was arrested for disturbing the peace.
Ooh, following in Mom's footsteps there.
Yeah, she attacked First Lady Eleanor Roosevelt for using Mother's Day as an occasion to raise money for a charity. So she, by the 40s, she had disowned the holiday altogether.
Aw.
So the impetus,
we don't still celebrate Mother's History or Mother's Day in any way that we think we want to do it, right?
Yeah. Well,
it's interesting,
Deborah, in your research, did you find out other cultures? You mentioned that Mother's Day is celebrated in other countries. Are there different ways of celebrating depending on other cultures?
Well, you know, I didn't really go there. That's a good.
Oh, okay, sorry. I would think that with as much of a unified world as we are now with communications and all that kind of stuff, it would probably pretty much be the same in all the cultures, but that would be interesting to know. Pinkley, do you have some people on the chat line who might have some comments?
Yeah, they're having an interesting conversation, and I think that the part of what we had talked about earlier before we even got on the air was, you know, recognizing the fact that there may be many mothers who are not with their children for whatever reasons.
Mm-hmm.
We talked a little bit about the celebrating and honoring and recognizing, for example, women who might be in, you know, domestic violence shelters or homeless shelters, even those that may be incarcerated. So it's not always, but we do want to try to keep it on the upside of the loving and, you know, what moms, the real celebration of moms. But there are some that are not with their children for whatever reason. So I think that's an important piece to mention.
Yeah. Well, and you know, those mothers that are mothering their children under extremely difficult situations,
right.
that, you know, economic and domestic violence and, you know, all sorts of situations that make that mothering challenge even more extreme. And we want to acknowledge that. But, you know, let's talk happy today. And one of the things that we can talk happy about is that we have healthy children. And we live in a society where we at least make an attempt to make sure that mothers have what they need to raise their children. You can argue whether we're successful at that or not. But, you know, we do acknowledge that, you know, children are important, and to children, mothers are very important.
So I found a little interesting blurb here. I'm on the website looking at www.mothersdaycelebration, and it has links for history, the story, Anna Jarvis, so on and so forth. And it does have a link here for Mother's Day around the world.
Oh, wow.
And Mother's Day in India, as an example, is slowly catching on. The concept of celebrating Mother's Day on the second Sunday of the May is very new in India, and it can be said that in a time span of less than a decade, Mother's Day has been a great success. Most of it is linked to the globalization from the Western culture, or mainly America Festival, to make its presence in India. So that's just one example. So perhaps maybe they have other forms of celebrating mothers, but on this specific day, that seems to be catching on, according to...
I think that is interesting, and I found some other countries and how they celebrate. Many former Soviet bloc countries had previously celebrated, well, Women's Day, and their Mother's Day was kind of combined with that. So if it isn't a separate day, it's generally combined with some other religious, political, or seasonal celebration. So I find that interesting, that that Mother's Day has this civic and political overtone, which I think is great. In Thailand, Mother's Day is celebrated on the birthday of Thailand's reigning queen.
Oh.
The date was changed to match her birthday, so the holiday would promote loyalty to the royal family as well as motherhood. So that's kind of interesting.
Well, and here's one on Ireland. Ireland is not celebrated on the same day as the U.S. Mother's Day celebration. It does take place on the fourth Sunday in the Christian fasting month of Lent. It can be traced back to the medieval practice where children from poor families were sent to work as domestic servants and apprentices to work with the rich.
Apprentice.
There you go. So, yeah, we could talk probably a whole show on other countries and how they celebrate. And it's interesting how we make the I made the assumption that all countries would celebrate Mother's Day, but that's not necessarily the true. And the origin is different. It sounds like the Mother's Day for the United States basically came from the root of activism.
Yeah. In Paraguay, Mother's Day was celebrated in conjunction with their nation's Independence Day. And that was done to honor Juana Maria de Lara, who opened her home to independence leaders for planning the overthrow of the Spanish government. So, but eventually they began to feel that Mother's Day was overshadowed by Independence Day, so they altered to switch Mother's Day to the second Sunday in May, like the United States. So I think there's a common thread here, though, if we want to look at it that way, is that these are traditional, yet traditions come from political and, it's all one. The personal is political, I guess, is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
Many times, a lot of social change and social reform movements are led by women and women's groups. So it all makes sense to me, and the fact that we do it in May kind of relates back to the, you know, pre-U.S. in the, you know, with the Greeks and the Romans and the cultures there, where it was more celebrated about spring, which is the renewal and, you know, blooming, giving birth. You know, animals are giving birth, and we're an animal, let's face it. those kinds of things. So I can see a commonality. It's just each country has their own little attachment to it.
Yeah. Sure.
And it sounds like a lot of countries include the politics into the mother appreciation thing.
Yeah, and I kind of like that. I mean, when I was younger and raising my children, I didn't pay attention to the political side of myself. But as a grandmother, the political side really has come to the front. And because I can see the connection to what's going on politically in the world and how it's going to impact my grandchildren. And because I'm not so focused on their individual development, I think I have the time and space to have that bigger view. Do you have any thoughts on that?
Oh, I think so. I think that I'm not a grandmother, but just with my kids being older, you know, you don't have to worry so much about, you know, what are they putting in their mouths, what are they doing now, you know, that day-to-day, moment-by-moment stuff that you have to go through raising children. And you do end up, I think, paying more attention to, you know, politically what's going to happen to them down the road and what's going to happen, you know, for the world that they live in and the world that their children live in. So I think that that must be a fairly common development among women. I don't know for sure, but it seems to me that, yeah, as your children age and grow up, you tend to get a little bit different perspective on what's important in the world, and you kind of pay attention to it and go for it if you can.
Yeah. You know, I wanted to let the guests know, or our listeners know, that we did have a guest. Her name is Lorena Gordon, scheduled, but she became ill, and she's actually not able to talk, so that wouldn't have been a very fun experience for her to be on our radio show today since she can't. But I did want to bring up her her story and her work, because I find she's a young woman, and for the last 2 years she's been working on a project, which is basically to honor her mother, who raised Lorena and her older brother as a single mom after leaving a very violent relationship. And Lorena's mom and father were immigrants from Ecuador. They came to the U.S. for his work. And he was very abusive, controlling, and when she was pregnant with Lorena, something occurred in her mindset that she said, I need to protect my children and leave this relationship. So Lorena's short film is called Times Like These, and it's the story of her mother's survival and raising two children in a world where she had to work more than one job and kind of be both sides of the parenting dynamics. So I think that's really a great tribute to any mother would be honored, I think, to have a child memorialize that part of their life together. And I just want to say that that's a pretty unique way to honor your mother, or whoever is your mother, in, you know, whether it's biological or by assignment or by choice. She actually has the script. She's got it copyrighted. And I wanted to point out that she has an Indiegogo page, which is what is called crowdfunding, and she's asking for people to donate. And if you go to our Three Divas Facebook page, you will find links to her Indiegogo page and her short document page. And you will find out a lot more information. And she would be very pleased and honored if anybody felt like donating to her cause. And she has some levels with some recognition going to those. She has a very modest budget, which I think is incredible. She's only trying to raise $13,000. She already has people who said they'd be the actors. She already has someone who's going to be the director. She's already written the script. So she has a very, very modest budget, and I think it would have a definite place in our anti-violence work and could be shown as a way to. I asked Lorena what was her message, what did she want to accomplish with this, and she said, I just want to raise awareness and educate people and show, give people hope that they too can, resolve a situation like that for themselves and protect their children and still have a really great life. So I just wanted to mention that because we would have loved to have had you join us, Lorena, but maybe we can do it another time.
Sure. One of the things, what I would like to talk about right now, if you guys are ready, is what was your best Mother's Day?
Good question.
Well,
best Mother's Day. I caught you by surprise on that one, didn't I? I'm sorry.
I have, I don't know that I have a best, but the ones I love the most and that I remember the most are just times when I'm able to spend it with my children and now grandchildren. So, and fortunately, my mother, she's still with us too. So, we get together and we have four generations, and every time that happens, I'm just incredibly filled with joy and a sense of continuity, you know, and a peacefulness. But I don't think I have one specific Mother's Day. Do you?
I think there was a year that was really, really nice for Mother's Day because the kids were little, and I had a really sick kid when they were little, and I had been, I think that week before, between two kids, I'd been to 11 doctor's appointments, and the only thing in my life that at all was kids and sick kids and cleaning up after sick kids, and I mean, it was just a really difficult week, and my sister gave me a Mother's Day present, and she just had flowers sent to me, but they weren't the usual roses or anything, they were orchids. And she, right in the midst of all this stuff, I mean, I don't think I'd even showered for 3 or 4 days, and the doorbell rang, and of course my first thought was dread. I thought, oh my gosh, I look horrible, the house is a mess, da-da-da. And I went to the door, and it was a florist with this bouquet of orchids, and it just, I mean, it just changed everything, just like that. Suddenly I felt peaceful, I felt happy, I felt appreciated, I felt like this was all going to be worth it, and I think that was probably one of my best days.
Cool.
Yeah. Frankly, I know you don't have kids of your own, but I do know that you're very involved in other kids.
Well, I think that just realizing the importance of the impact that you have on children, whatever your role is, I'd like to honor, my own mother. I mean, there was at one point five generations of us that were together, and it wasn't necessarily Mother's Day, but it was just a really special day. It was a legacy of, you know, my grandmother and my mother and the importance that we all have in children's lives, and I am very blessed with being a godmother, so I'm not really sure what that means, but, I'm an aunt, and that's okay. So it's hard, but, you know, you transition from those life events.
Yes, yeah. So I think that, again, even if we don't have our own children, you guys are both mentioning we have mothers of our own, you know. I mean,
right.
We all have a mother. And to put this in perspective, not only for our own mothering, but for those who mothered us, I think
Absolutely.
Is important. You know, I had a very difficult mother, lots of problems, and you know, not so great in the motherhood department. But still, you know, she did what she could do, and you know, to know that on Mother's Day, she at least stuck around with us, you know. She was there for us. And, you know, so I get to see, we get to see Mother's Day from both aspects, from being mothered and mothering. And I think that even if you're not doing the mothering, you have to remember that, you know, you've been mothered. So right. You have to honor it that way as well. So,
and there's there's no handbook on being a mother, right?
No,
I mean
they don't hand you an instruction manual when you give birth.
Oh, that's a.
I wish they would. It might have made life a little easier sometimes.
Yeah.
But no, and we're all winging it, and I think that we all feel. At different times, we feel elated, we feel gratified, we feel unable to keep doing it, we feel like we've let everybody down, we're not doing it well enough. I mean, everybody who's raised children, whether they've given birth or not, experiences all of that stuff. But
I think the honoring of your mother can occur in lots of ways. It wasn't Mother's Day, but for my birth, when my daughter, my oldest daughter, turned 21, she sent me roses.
Oh.
For her 21st birthday, and that was very moving and emotional. So there are ways that we can honor mothers that don't revolve around, you know, May, the second Sunday of May for us if we live in the United States, and there's just, you know, all sorts of ways that we can think about honoring and what that means to each of us as an individual, and honoring whatever and however we are able to mother or be a parent. You know, it is so different for all of us, and
right.
I think there's not a one-size-fits-all, and there's not a one perfect way to do it. So, I mean, if you think about it, if, you know, we might have listeners who maybe, you know, don't have their children with them for a variety of reasons, but maybe they made the best choice they could at the time for those children, what they thought would work best for their children. So I think that's pretty awesome. You know,
and I think that a big shout-out, too, to the people that have been in our lives that may not have been our bio moms, but the people in our life who have been like mothers to us, and there's certainly lots of women like that in the world.
Oh, yeah.
And I mean, one of the important things that I learned when I was working directly with survivors of domestic violence was so many of them felt as if they hadn't had, you know, what they called good parenting or parenting role models that were positive. So sometimes if you don't have that figure in your life, there are ways that you can parent yourself or, you know, find another person to fill that role for you. So, again, there's all kinds of ways that we can really think about honoring not only the act of raising children, but giving birth and being part of that renewal.
Yeah. It's interesting you mentioned that one, because I think that for a lot of us, we didn't have a good example of what it meant to be a mother. And so you're constantly winging it. I remember one time I was at the pediatrician's, and we were so lucky that we had such a nice pediatrician. He was just wonderful, especially since we had such a sick kid. And I was finding myself calling the office saying, is this normal? You know, this is what I did. Is this okay? And one day he said to me, Heather, you're doing all the right things. You just don't know that you are. And that really clicked with me. It really, I just thought, oh, okay, I can trust myself for just having some abilities that have come to me naturally. But never having seen the examples, I wasn't sure. You know, I wasn't sure if this was normal or if this was desirable. And I just questioned myself over and over and over about my mothering skills. And to have him say that was a true gift. Wasn't on Mother's Day, but it was definitely a mother's gift to have them acknowledge that. So I think that sometimes that those best gifts are not necessarily on Mother's Day, but any day that we get a boost in our confidence and get to get acknowledgement for the hard work that we're doing is a Mother's Day. So, you know, not only do we have to look at different ways of celebrating Mother's Day, but we have to look at different ways of accepting that celebration, I think.
Absolutely. And, you know, in this day and age, in the 21st century, where we're all so mobile and many of us don't live, you know, geographically close to each other anymore, you have to find ways to create that sense of the connectedness and celebration. And maybe it's not going to happen on Mother's Day, on the actual day. And I know it's true for me, because I have 4 grown children with, spouses, partners, significant others. And so I have to share them with the other side of the family, too, you know. So you can't always have these things on the official, you know, government-approved stamp holiday date. So there's a lot of ways we can think about doing that. And I kind of like how some people have used Mother's Day. Why don't you share about the walk that you found in your research, Heather?
Well, yeah, in doing some research, it was kind of interesting to me that I was able to find different events that were going on. And one of those is a Mother's Day walk. It's going on today in, I just clicked it shut, but it's going on in Brooklyn. And they are doing the Mother's Day Walk Against Domestic Violence. So they're going across the Brooklyn Bridge. Here we go. I just found it again. Yeah, they're going across. Well, actually, it started at 10 a.m., so it's probably finished about now. But they're doing a Mother's Day Walk across the Brooklyn Bridge to stand up against domestic violence. And I also found other organizations. Now, see, I thought I invented this a few years ago. A few years ago, I thought, boy, the worst thing in the world would be to be in a domestic violence shelter, going through all that trauma and not even being in your own home on Mother's Day. So I went to some local merchants, and I got them to donate some stuff, and I dropped it off at one of our local shelters. And I did that for a couple years, and then the store that I was using, which was a huge department store, changed hands, and then they didn't give out freebies anymore. They had a national cause that they donated to and not local causes. And so I tried a couple of other places, wasn't successful, and so unfortunately I had to drop it. But actually, there are places around the country where they are putting together packages, they're putting together gifts, donations, just the typical Mother's Day stuff. And they're giving it to women in shelters. So I was kind of like super impressed by that. I thought I invented the idea, but apparently not. But I always thought that, you know, gosh.
Well, it was very thoughtful of you, Heather, to do that. I was involved with a shelter in my local community, and that was a pretty much standard by the time I arrived there in the 1990s. We had all kinds of civic groups. We had a couple of different women's civic groups. One was dedicated to helping them celebrate Valentine's Day, which, again, in shelter is kind of a lonely day. And we definitely celebrated Mother's Day and Father's Day, and they generally worked with the kids to help them find ways to honor their parent while in shelter. So they might have a planting a seed and having it grow into a flower, you know, and giving the mother the flower, or all kinds of things. And then we had groups that would donate special meal, items to prepare a meal. And then the women in the house would get together and prepare a meal for those who had no plants outside the shelter. So there's a lot of ways that shelters can make those holidays meaningful, but it's still not exactly the same thing, of course, if you were on your own and in your own home.
Yeah. There's also a website that I found where they are, it's a group of jewelry makers, and they are actually donating jewelry to shelters to give to the children, who then can give it to their mothers for a Mother's Day present.
Well, there's a
lot of creative ways out there to acknowledge mothers, and even under the direst of circumstances. And that's pretty impressive to me. You know, it's pretty impressive.
We talked about Anna Jarvis and how upset she was by the materialism of Mother's Day. On that note, I found some information that might shed some light on that. So the National Retail Foundation estimates that Mother's Day is a $16 billion industry. Florists see their highest sales in May. U.S. restaurants claim it is their busiest day of the year. Postal Service experiences an increase of volume. According to Hallmark, 96% of American consumers will purchase Mother's Day cards from them. And consumers spent an average of $152 per person on mom for Mother's Day in 2012.
Wow. But so see, am I just crass? I think, yay, I want the stuff. I want stuff. I want those flowers. I want those gifts.
Well, I don't know that it's crass, but I'm thinking of my four children in this economic time and what a struggle it is for them to make ends meet, and I'm thinking that that's a little overboard, $152 per person.
$16
billion industry.
Yeah.
That's a lot of money.
That's quite a chunk for most people, I think.
Yeah.
And you know, that's another point too. I think that as mothers or as role models for the children in our lives, we do tend to prefer them getting something for themselves rather than spending lots of money on something like Mother's Day. We prefer them to take care of themselves. When I was little, I would ask somebody, you know, my father, and I'd say, what do you want? What do you want? And he'd say things like, oh, I want the garden weeded. Or he'd say, oh, I want just my family around me. Mm-hmm. And I'd say, no, I mean something that you really want, you know,
yeah.
Something that I can go give you or make you, you know. And it was frustrating as a child to not have that direction because I thought, no, I want a gift, not that stuff. You know, what can I give you? But now, of course, in my dotage, I recognize that is the best gift. Those things are the best gifts. And I have children of my own who say, no, tell us what you want. We want to be able we want to be able to give you something.
Well,
yeah.
Another option might be, too, just, a certificate of I'll come wash your windows one day or, you know, something that needs done around the house. It could just be an act of helping that could, you know, mean a lot to a mom. You know, hey, Mom, why don't we go through all those pictures that you wanted to, and that's my Mother's Day gift to you. You know, make time to
That'd
do that.
That's great.
You know.
Yeah. Well, I had...
At some point, the things are not important. The things are... Yeah, they're nice to have things, but, you know, they're not the important stuff.
Right.
Well, we've got a chat saying, hey, how about some dusting or even weeding for your mom in the garden? You know,
perfect.
Those are the kind of things that could, really just say, hey, you mean a lot to me and I want to take the time to spend with you and what can we do together?
Yeah. I remember, this is not Mother's Day, but one of my favorite of all-time birthdays was a while ago and my kids were quite small. And my two youngest are my sons and they're about 2 years apart and I think they were like 5 and 7 at the time. And they had they made me a card, which was very sweet, the two boys together. And they were standing right next to me, and they had a brown paper sack, which said to mom from my sons. And the older boy hands it to him, and the little one says, there's $1.79 in there. And the older son says, oh, why'd you tell her, you know? It was so precious. They had found this change, and they put it in. I mean, that was their idea, and it came from the heart, and it was what they had. And I will never forget that memory of just how sweet they both were, you know, and how precious it was to have that experience with them. So It doesn't have to be a lot, you know. It's really the thought that counts. When I mean, for most of us mothers, it's really the thought. Do you remember me?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. Well, and I think, you know, really when it comes down to it, you know, to be acknowledged for what you're doing, because mothering is hard. It's darn hard. And when you throw in these other circumstances, like we've been talking about, the difficulties in life, makes it even harder. And to just have a moment in time, and Mother's Day gives us a good excuse for that, but it can be any day, just a moment in time when you realize that you are appreciated or that you are doing a good job and that somebody recognizes that.
Or here's something. Now that they're adults, do you still have relevance in their life? Are you still important in their life?
Yeah, exactly.
Sometimes they get so busy. I have the four children, and they have their lives, and they are so busy. So when we do get together, it does have some more special meaning that at least they took that time to make sure that they, you know, that's their way of telling me they love me and showing it. So.
Yeah, and that's the best thing of all, really. You know, the things are nice, and I like the things, quite frankly. I just love having some flowers sent in or a little gift to open. I like that. But really,
yeah.
the significant thing for me is knowing that, you know, like my daughter flew in from San Diego for the weekend. You know, the fact that she would spend her money, because she's on a real limited budget, and take that time to come up to spend with me. You know, that's huge.
Yeah.
It's huge. And it makes me feel like I must have done something right. So, I don't know. Maybe I'm the only one who has constant doubts about my mothering, but I have always had doubts about that. And to have it acknowledged that, oh, okay, this must have been okay, you know, that really means a lot to me. So.
Well, so Mother's Day is a big deal to us females. And do you think it has the same meaning for fathers on Father's Day? Do you think it feels the same to them? Or do you think it's as important to our fathers?
I don't know. That's an interesting question. I know that mothers and fathers can be so different.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know if it means the same. I mean, I think, and this may be a huge stereotype and a main, you know, I mean, I may be really just showing my ignorance here, but I have to believe that, you know, that nurturing thing that mothers have, the fathers have that too, and mothers don't have it. I mean, I grew up in a household where my father was the nurturer and my mother was very distant. But I think for the most part, that nurturing thing really comes with women. And so it's a different type of parenting. It's more of a giving your entire life to this, to nurturing, to giving this thing the comfort, this child the comfort and the room and everything he needs to grow. I think I see that more in women than I've seen it in men, but that could just be my limited experience. So I would think that Mother's Day, you know, with that acknowledgement that, you know, all of this hard stuff that you're giving really does matter, might mean more. What do you guys think?
You know, I'm kind of torn.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Connie.
Well, I was, I really like this quote from Anna Jarvis talking about, there are a lot of things money can't buy, love and time, for instance. And she goes on to say, I wanted a day of sentiment, not profit. So it's really about honoring your mom in a way. I mean, all the gifts and flowers and things, those are all wonderful and, you know, that's stemmed from commercialism. But it's really about the sentiment of being a mom or the women in your life who've been like mothers. I mean, I can say that I had a grandmother who was just as meaningful and important in my life as my mother. I mean, they were equally there for me. And, of course, I have an aunt who's had a big influence on my life that I don't think she realizes how much of an influence she's had. But it's the sentiment, I think, behind And I don't know about the Father's Day. That's a really interesting question. I think that some fathers might disagree with you, Heather, on the nurturing. The thing that we have as mothers is that we give birth. We have the natural act of that that fathers don't have, but that doesn't necessarily make you a mom. So
that's
it's really about honoring people in your life who've been like mothers. And I think that's really significant, especially coming from someone who's not ever been a mother physically. Mm-hmm. I've been like a mom, but have never given birth. So it's really
I think that's the other thing. Giving birth doesn't make you a mother any more than, you know, having a child makes a father a father. It's
right.
More than just the physical act of reproduction, because
right.
any organism can do that. You know, that's not what makes you a mother. And I think that for me, that whole idea of the sentiment, when I was saying the thing about the fathers, I think because, and again, this might be my horrible generalization, but mothers tend, I think a lot of mothers tend to like sentiment, and a lot of men, particularly of an older generation, don't necessarily see sentiment as something that they particularly are comfortable with. I don't know.
Yeah,
am I way off on that?
Yeah, I would agree with that. It's more of a, well, maybe we can talk about that next month when it's Father's Day.
Yeah,
I think we can. But, yeah, I wanted to share this because I just ran across, I know quotes are your bailiwick, Deborah, but this one spoke to me. A mother is not a person to lean upon, but a person to make leaning unnecessary.
Oh.
And I have always said that motherhood is the only job where if you do it well, you've worked yourself out of business.
Yeah.
You just put yourself, if you do it right, you put yourself right out of business.
Yeah.
And I think that's kind of true. If you do it right, then, you know, you're not really, you don't really have to do it for the rest of your life. If you've done it right.
Oh, that's an interesting thought. I feel like it is a lifetime connection. And even
the connection, yeah.
You're not physically together or physically doing for each other, I feel like there's still this, I don't know. I feel extremely connected to my mother, and I feel extremely connected to my children, and I don't expect that to change or, you know.
No, I think that connection, I think you're right about that connection. But what I'm talking about is the day-to-day work, the job of mothering. If you do it right, you've basically taught your children how to stand up in the world and be their own person. And, you know, not that you lose that connection, but it's just that you don't have to do the training and the, you know, teaching as much as you get older.
Right.
I'm going to jump in here. I want to honor some of the chats that are going on here to just segue off of your comment there. Basically, what I think you're trying to say is becoming self-sufficient, that you don't need a lifetime caretaker. Yeah, that your kids can go out in the world and they're going to be okay. But they still need you. I mean, they're still there. I mean, I count on my mother every single day of my life, basically. Just knowing that she's there, it doesn't mean that she has to caretake me, but the comfort and the nurturing of knowing that she's there is, for me, lifelong.
Yes.
Yeah, my opinion is I don't look at mothering as caretaking. I guess that's the difference. There are some days in my life that where I get a call from each one of my four kids all within a couple hours of each other. And a lot of times they're asking for support or advice or what would you do, or sometimes they just need to vent. And I know that's not a daily requirement of me, but I feel like I'm there for them daily and they know that. So I still think that it's different being a parent of adults, of course.
Yes.
Of course. But,
well, and like I said, that
still a lot of need.
yeah. But when they're little and you have to teach them everything from how to walk to how to go to the bathroom to, you know, I mean, that's really heavy-duty work. And that's the kind of stuff that I was thinking about, the teaching of the tasks, the teaching of the values, you know.
Right.
You know, some of that stuff, it's not as intense, and it does segue to something else when your kids are older. Yeah, so that's what I was thinking. Remember that, you know, I have to go back to this in my brain because this whole hour I've been thinking it. M is for the million things she gave me. Remember that stuff? Do you remember that?
Yeah.
It's such
a cheesy... In some of my searching here as we were chatting and doing the talk show this morning, I looked up the different the languages for the word mom.
Uh-huh.
And what it highlighted was most of the different languages for mom start with the letter M.
Oh, really?
Very, very interesting. Yeah. So
That would be interesting to explore that. Because,
yeah.
I mean, what sound do we make when we're all happy and contented? Now, that may be a leap. So, anyway. Well, Pinkley, give us one word of advice or hope or sense of Mother's Day that you would like to leave our listeners with.
I would just like to honor all of the women out there that are in the role of having an influence and impact on other people's lives. It can be, you just never know, and you don't necessarily have to be a mom. And but at the same time, I want to honor all of those that are moms. It's a hard job, and I've always said to my nephews and nieces and family, I think being a parent, being a mom, is the most important job that you'll ever have. And
and
I truly mean that. And it can be a fun and exciting and rewarding career. And it doesn't ever have to end. I'm very close to my mom, and I just give her a big shout out that I appreciate everything she's done, including the trials and tribulations and some of the learning opportunities. Those are still constant, and it's not something you finish doing. It's a lifetime journey.
Very good. Deborah, that's going to be a tough one to follow.
Well, yeah, I just too want to honor all the women in the world, and I celebrate you, whoever you are and wherever you are, and for your gifts to the world, because you're all very valuable, and I appreciate you.
Yeah. And, you know, let's appreciate ourselves, too. You know?
Absolutely.
You did a heck of a job, Deborah. Pinkley, you're doing wonderful stuff with your niece, and you're being a role model. I mean, acknowledge ourselves, too, guys. We did a good job, and we've raised people that are going to be a contribution to this world. Don't you think?
Yeah.
Absolutely. And our chat lady, Vicky Lady, says, yes, and we raise the future. I love that. Thank you for that. We raise the future. Yeah.
Well, they used to say that the hand that rocks the cradle rules the world.
Right.
And, I certainly do consider myself a feminist, but in my mind, a feminist is not contradict you from being a mother and making mothering or parenting your career or raising children your career. I think it's just as an important career as any other career if that's what you are choosing. To me, that's what feminism is all about, is to be able to choose, not to be able to just reject some role because it's more traditional. I think you have to choose. For me, the thing that I think about mothering is... before I had kids, I worked with some women who had children, and I went around one day and asked them, what's your biggest accomplishment in life? And these were women who had PhDs, who were successful, who did, and without an exception, they all said, raising my kids, having my kids. And, of course, with no children of my own at that point, I went, that? Reproduction is your biggest accomplishment in life? and then I had my own children, and no one ever prepared me for that physical physical change that occurred in me when I had children, and that connection and that commitment to my kids. So to me, that is the hugest thing and the biggest accomplishment I ever had. So, Deborah, you got a quote?
Of course. This is one that speaks to what you're saying, Heather, and also the people in our chat room. And it's attributed to unknowns, so I don't know about that. The quote is, "Mothers hold their children's hands for a short while, but their hearts forever." And I definitely think that's true. So true.
Yep.
So thank you so much, listeners and audience. And we are three women.
Three ways.
Three divas.
All right.
Join us next week on Three Women, Three Ways.